Now, as depression rates in the U.S. reach new highs, some patients find that common treatments like therapy and/or antidepressants aren't effective for them. That's leading a push for new research into alternate forms of treatment, including psychoactive drugs. In Wisconsin, a growing number of clinics have popped up in recent months offering an alternative form of treatment with the drug ketamine. Ketamine has long been approved by the FDA as an anesthetic, but more recently, researchers have experimented with using dosages to elicit a hallucinogenic effect aimed at treating a variety of mental health issues. The FDA has not approved the use of ketamine for this purpose. Many insurance companies won't cover it for mental health treatment. Our next guest researches the use of a variety of psychoactive drugs in mental health settings, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen these ketamine clinics opening up in your area? What do you think about the use of ketamine for mental health treatment? Do you have questions about how it could work? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Cody Wenther is an assistant professor at UW-Madison School of Pharmacy, where he's the director of the Psychoactive Pharmaceutical Investigation Master's Program. His lab researches new therapeutic treatments for mental health care, including opioids, psychedelics, and cannabinoids. Cody, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ketamine, I think, is not necessarily a household word for a lot of people. Cody, can you tell us a little bit about what it is and what it does?
Certainly. So ketamine is a compound that acts on a relatively lesser known neurotransmitter, glutamate. Despite glutamate being the major excitatory neurotransmitter in your brain. So when your neurons are talking to one another, that's largely a glutamate dependent function. And ketamine is a compound that blocks a receptor for this glutamate neurotransmitter. And because of that, found great use and continues to find great use as an anesthetic agent in following surgery, for example. That same mechanism is what folks are now using and exploring for the antidepressant treatments that were being mentioned earlier.
How much research has gone into ketamine so far as an antidepressant treatment?
Yeah, there's actually been a good amount of research sponsored by large funders like the National Institute of Mental Health, starting around the turn of the century or this millennium in the early 2000s. People started noticing that ketamine was having rapid acting effects on people's mood when they were getting infusions of ketamine for other approaches. And this set off a wave of research, not just in people, but also to look at the mechanisms in cells and other models to understand what was going on. And one of the things that they found quite interesting is that one of the ways in which your brain manifests, you know, learning and changes is that neurons that are normally talking to one another will wire together fairly closely. And as your brain learns, it undergoes a process called plasticity, where old connections may weaken, new connections may form and strengthen. And ketamine seemed to be modifying those connections and helping induce that neuroplasticity. So that went on for a period of about 20 years that finally culminated in the approval of a particular form of ketamine called S-ketamine being approved as a adjunct or add-on treatment for depression where people hadn't found relief, so-called treatment-resistant depression, in 2019. And that's available as a nasal spray. But because that spray has a lot of restrictions around its use, it can be quite costly. And ketamine has been available since approximately the 70s. Other individuals started saying thinking that they might want to use the original formulation of ketamine as an intravenous form or others. And that's kind of what we started seeing in those clinics that are coming up today.
when I've talked to people about treating depression, it seems like, you know, for some people, an antidepressant, an existing antidepressant might work great. For some people, it might work kind of, some not at all. Talk therapy might work, be lovely for one person, not help another. How important is it to find new things for our toolkit so the people who do slip through the cracks, the other things don't work for, might have an option?
I would argue it's very important. We don't want to leave people behind when people are suffering. And we're having particularly high rates of suicidality in the world today, and epidemic rates of depression and other psychiatric illnesses. And you're exactly right. The numbers seem to indicate that about a third of individuals will have a good response from first-line antidepressants. These are things like selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors that folks may have heard of. About a third then will experience relief when another treatment is added on or their therapy is switched. But there's about a third of individuals who go through all the medication treatments available, some of the procedural treatments, talk therapy, as you mentioned, and they aren't experiencing significant relief. So I think addressing that fairly large proportion of individuals with new therapies is very important. And I think the other thing that's really interesting about ketamine and potentially beneficial is that rapid acting nature of it. So in comparison to those first line antidepressants, which often take 6 to 8 weeks to work, often folks who do experience relief from ketamine, which is somewhere around 2/3 to 3/4 of folks who try it, they get relief within hours to days. So I think it represents an important new area. It's sort of a new type of mechanism, as I mentioned, looking at glutamate rather than serotonin, which might help us improve it further. But we definitely don't want to be leaving people behind.
Now, to the extent people might have heard of ketamine in the past, it might be as a party drug, so-called, something that people used illicitly. Are there concerns about abuse, about downsides of ketamine?
Yes, certainly. There are potential downsides to all drugs that we use. As a pharmacist, a neuropharmacologist, I like to remind people, you know, it's the dose that makes the poison for all compounds, and getting the right drug in the right place at the right time is vitally important, because any one of those things going wrong can cause there to be problems. And ketamine is a so-called scheduled drug. So underneath the Controlled Substances Act, compounds that have a risk of abuse have special protections on how they're handled and used. And ketamine falls roughly in the middle of that range, which means that it has a known abuse liability or risk, but that it's not quite as high as something that has the highest risk, things like cocaine or some very strong opioids, for example. And so the things to watch out for with ketamine are it can cause that sedation. It does cause a sensation that people often referred to as dissociation, where they feel like they're sort of floating or outside of their body. And at higher doses, some people describe this as sort of psychedelic-like. And for those reasons, it's definitely needs to be administered under close supervision. And we don't want folks just taking it and then operating heavy machinery, for example. That's part of the notion of why ketamine is a scheduled compound, and part of the reasons that it is misused. And it does continue to be misused by people outside of therapeutic contexts. And I would note that for folks who get that dose wrong, there is a risk of coma and even death. So it's not a compound to be treated lightly or as if it has no significant risks.
We're talking to UW-Madison School of Pharmacy Professor Cody Wenther about ketamine as a mental health treatment, with new clinics popping up around Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your thoughts on this. Do you think clinics should offer ketamine as a treatment option, even if that treatment isn't yet approved by the FDA? What kind of regulations or oversight do you think there should be? Have you or someone near you tried this? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Cody Wenther, assistant professor at UW-Madison School of Pharmacy, who researches psychedelics, cannabinoids, and alternative treatment options for mental health. With us today to look at why more clinics around Wisconsin are starting to offer ketamine in an attempt to treat depression and other mental health concerns. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or questions or maybe your experiences. Let's go to your calls now. Peter is with us in Pewaukee. Peter, hello.
Hello, Rob and Cody. I'm happy to be on the radio to report that my daughter is going in for a ketamine clinic, not only diagnosis, but treatment at the end of October. All of the clinicians in this clinic seem to be very concerned with basically the patient's health, whether the therapy is going to work. And there is a five-step process that they put them through to make sure that they have success. They want the patient to have success, so that's why the process is so long. She started out at the end of July, and she won't have the actual therapy until the end of October. But all of this takes time to evaluate the patient in order for it to be safe. And I want everybody to understand that clinics are really trying to do this right.
Peter, thanks a lot for the call. Hoping for success on that treatment for your daughter. Cody, Peter feels good about this experience so far. There are concerns, though. This is not an FDA-approved use of this drug and not necessarily a lot of guidelines and oversight on how it actually gets used for patients like Peter's daughter.
Yeah, I'm also very happy to hear that Peter feels like his daughter's getting the help that she needs and feeling comfortable with the process. I would say for other folks looking at ketamine clinics that, like other healthcare decisions, right, getting a first and second opinion and understand, helping yourself understand how well the clinicians understand the medications they're working with is really important. And I would say it's especially important in the case of what would in this case be called an off-label use. And regarding the FDA approval piece, I want to point out that off-label use is not really outside of the norm in psychiatry. That is, you know, it can cost hundreds of millions of dollars for a pharmaceutical company to run a clinical trial to get an approval for a particular condition. And through clinical experience, often clinicians will find that a medication is useful for something adjacent to or slightly different than that indication. Sometimes the pharmaceutical companies will then go and seek that indication so they can get insurance coverage for it. Sometimes they will not. But it does create one less layer of oversight on how the product is being used. And so the thing I would say about ketamine on this front is it's made up of two molecules that are mirror images of one another, like your left hand and right hand. And so the version that's only the left hand version is the one that's approved as a nasal spray for treatment resistant depression. It's the one that has both the left and right hand mirror forms that is being used off-label. So while it's not FDA approved for that, it's not like there's no evidence base or this is just completely made up. There's certainly good reason for folks to have made this next step. But it does demand, obviously, additional care because of the different route of administration and the fact that not always do those left-hand and right-hand molecules act identically.
Peter, thanks a lot for that call. Time for one more caller. Mary is with us in Wind Lake. Mary, hello.
Hi. I called in because my daughter actually gets these treatments. She about she started last May, and just before that, I was watching the news, and there was a gentleman, a vet, who had not been able to work and was suicidal and all these things. And then we met with this clinic in Wauwatosa. And again, like the previous caller, they, you know, they sit you down and they go through all your medical history. And the treatment itself for my daughter is IV, but she has her therapist on Zoom with her, and I'm always in there with her too, and we walk through it. But I can tell you a little bit, my daughter.
Well, just briefly, Mary, we're just about out of time. Yeah. How is it working out for your daughter so far?
Oh my God, it's been life-saving. She was in and out of the hospital, suicide attempts, unable to work, unable to complete school. It was 10 years of just, can't even tell you. And this, I have my daughter back. She's got a great job. She can hold into it. She's married now. I mean, life changing.
Fantastic. Mary, thank you so much for sharing that. Glad to hear it. And just our last few moments, Cody, are you hopeful for that, more of that kind of story?
Very hopeful and very glad to hear it. I think ketamine is sort of the first wave of the next layer of investigations for psychedelic assisted therapies in general. There's still a lot more to learn, but the stories where people are really having those life-changing moments and able to re-engage and live the life that they want to are truly incredible. Not everybody's going to be a success, but it's amazing to see those that are.
Mary, thanks for sharing that story. And Cody, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Cody Wenther, assistant professor at UW-Madison School of Pharmacy, where he directs the Psychoactive Pharmaceutical Investigation Master's Program. He's with us today for a look at the drug ketamine as a possible treatment for depression and why more ketamine clinics are opening across the state.